You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
July 1st, 2021. We're approaching July 4th, of course, a day of celebration, and many Americans are certainly going to party. They're going to have their festivities. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. You think we're done with COVID? You think the powers that be that control what we should think and do about COVID, or they're done with us? Not so fast, Buster. Dr. Fake stating that the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention guidance that states fully vaccinated people no longer need to wear a mask in indoor or outdoor settings remains unchanged. He said, we're going to stay with that. In other words, if you've been vaccinated, if you're indoors, so forth, you don't have to, but they say you need to be careful. They want to keep you in fear as long as they can. And yes, it's legitimate for some. And as I said, you need to make the determination for you and your family. Well, look what the Supreme Court did. It upheld the Arizona voting rule 6-3 decision that restrict ballot harvesting and submitting provisional ballots outside your home precinct. The DNC, Democrat National Committee, challenged that, saying, well, that would be a restrictive voting. That would be kind of like Jim Crow laws. They didn't use that wording, but that's what they're trying to say. But no, in a 6-3 decision, the court ruled the policy requiring provisional ballots to be completely disregarded if not at the correct precinct or ballot harvesting. No. In fact, Justice Alito wrote the opinion, joined by Chief Justice Roberts, Thomas, Gorsuch, Kavanaugh, and Barrett, noting that Arizona law makes it very easy for residents to vote. But, of course, that's not the story you're going to get from the left. In fact, I'm watching how CNN's treating it already. Here's what they wrote. The restrictive voting laws that Republican-led states are implementing this year are more likely to withstand legal challenges. But today, the Supreme Court gave the green light to go as far as they want. Anyone who just watches and relies only on that source, they're going to get such a disjointed, misinformed piece of information, and they'll believe, Republicans don't want anybody of color voting. No, we want everyone to vote. We want it to be proper and legal. And by the way, the Pew Research report showing the other day, as I quoted for you, that people of color are also concerned about the validity of the voting. So former President Trump was touring the U.S.-Mexico border yesterday, said it's never been worse. He said, 6 months ago, we were in pretty good shape. Now it's worse than ever. He said, I don't think it'd be turned around in a hurry. He said, I don't know if Joe Biden is incompetent. I don't know why he's asking that, if he's incompetent, or he just doesn't understand, or all of the above. In the meantime, the Manhattan District Attorney, boy, they're looking for crime high and left. All these, a physical assault downtown New York City today, caught on camera, and other crimes being caught in Times Square. And you know where they're spending all their time and effort? In the Manhattan District Attorney's office, trying to nail Donald Trump and his organization. They're going after his chief financial officer. He surrendered today on a charge that they claim that he was basically receiving perks that were not counted as income, such as maybe a car. That's all they've got. That's what they've got. That's what they've got when Americans are bleeding in the middle of their city. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, Democrat, California, asked today. All these comments that Congresswoman Omar, Democrat, Minnesota, has been saying, inflammatory statements about Israel and Jewish Democrat colleagues. What do you think should be done about her? Should she be taken off some of the committees, as some are saying? Pelosi just interrupted the reporter, wouldn't even let the question complete, waving it off, said, let's stay with the topic I have in front of me. Congressman Gates, Republican of Florida, wants an inspector general investigation into allegations that Fox News host Tucker Carlson is being surveilled by the National Security Agency. I had that story on yesterday. I raised a lot of questions as to how Tucker reported, how much validity is there, and a lot of folks that think I don't like Tucker. I like Tucker, but I'll visit that in more detail again tomorrow, so you listen for that. Oh, by the way, we told you about some complaints coming out of VP Harris's office, quoted by Politico. Meghan McCain on The View says, well, that little informer ran like a BIT to go complain about her. What a nasty thing.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental. My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Then the sheriff came around in the middle of the night, heard mama crying that something wasn't right. Headed down to Knoxville with a weekly load. You can smell a whiskey burning down Copperhead Road.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You built the wall. You ended catch and release. Now we see what's happening. Your reaction to all of it.
Well, there has never been a better time 6 months ago, and there's never been a worse time. We had the tightest security. You could come into our country legally. But you know what else we were stopping? Massive amounts of drugs, human traffickers, bad, bad people, criminals. They're emptying their jails into our country. You know, other countries are emptying their jails into our country. We never had it better, and now we've never had it worse in the history of our country.
That is President Trump, former President Trump, speaking to Sean Hannity after touring the border. No, he did not go to El Paso. He went right into the midst of where some of the problems were. In fact, he was in Brook County and talking to a sheriff there. And this sheriff said, we are 70 miles from the border. I mean, he went down to the border to meet with the president, but he said, my county is 70 miles from the border. And I want to tell you, we have seen a 300% increase in deaths, in migrant deaths in our county, just that one county. We're finding them dead because they died with no water. The heat got to them. They got abandoned by the cartel. 300% increase. After the tour along the border and talking to various officials, Trump appeared on Hannity for a town hall event, and those were some of the comments he made. And he had also previously said that Biden either is incompetent or he wants open borders. Well, the answer is both. Both. In fact, the DHS under Biden and Mayorkas, the head of Homeland Security, he is not doing anything to protect our nation. He's not doing anything to protect our nation. I'm telling you right now that it's not going to go well if it continues like this. He's ready to release 100,000 more migrants into the U.S., 100,000 more annually. Well, CNN has even admitted that that 1 million, this again, CNN, 1 million migrants have crossed the border since October. Now, they call them migrants, they're illegals. We're talking about 1 million illegals. They finally, deep down in the copy, say they were illegally crossing. But in the beginning, it's just migrants. And are you against migrants? Are you against immigration? No, I'm not against immigration. I'm against illegal immigration. We already, every year in this nation, we bring in 1 million legal migrants. About 1 million. And about 800,000, almost double that, almost 1 million again, temporary visa workers. And then, of course, we have the ones who come in and they overstay their legal visa anyway. In May, 180,000 were caught crossing the southern border. Back in May, 180,000. The June numbers have not been finalized. But despite the rising temperatures and the deaths, as the sheriff of Brook County said, the June numbers may well reach almost 190,000. So when President Trump, I guess in a gracious way, is saying Biden is either incompetent or wants open borders, it's both. He has failed America. Make no mistake about it. Now, as Republicans, of course, who went along and down with the president to make that tour and see and be there with him, they say, yes, this crisis is all on Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and that they purposely undid successful Trump policies. Well, we know they did. One of the first acts Biden did when he got into office was strike down the Trump Remain in Mexico policy. Our country is open to asylum seekers. But just because you want to come to our country to have a better life, that does not qualify for asylum. And I understand you would rather live here. We are a beacon on the hill for the world. Although some Americans that exist in this country now don't see it that way. A survey being released that shows that Only seven out of ten surveyed believe America is the best country in the nation, in the world, I should say, 7 out of 10. Used to be 8 out of 10. And when you break it down in ages, about 55%, if I remember the numbers, I saw them earlier today, 55% of the young people believe that America is the best place. So that means that a lot of young people, and by that young, I don't know what age that category broke off. It could be upper 20s, that they're already indoctrinated that America is systemically racist. You'll never have a chance if you're a person of color, and yet you look around and success is everywhere. Are there some people that are held back, and are they held back because of color? I have no doubt there's some cases that exist like that. Are there some people that get ahead because of color? I have no doubt those cases exist. In fact, I believe Kamala Harris has her job for that very reason. Whoops, I said it, didn't I? I did. But let me tell you about some of these that are coming across illegally and then how we treat them. This is depressing as hell. And this involves a Dallas County district attorney. I don't know the guy. I don't know what his politics. I don't understand this at all. There is an illegal alien from Kenya. Now, how do you think he got from Kenya to our country? Did he come by flight, entering our nation's airports coming through? No. He came across the border at some point. You think that? Yeah, it could have been. Actually, what happened, he came on a tourist visa in July 2003. Supposed to be here only temporarily, one of those who overstayed the visa, then became an illegal, eligible for deportation. But then he got a green card because he married an American citizen. He had a criminal record for so many things, convictions, not just accusations, convictions, drunk driving, trespassing, assault. He is accused of murdering in April 2016 to 2018. He's accused of murdering 24 elderly Americans in Texas. 24. And the Dallas County District Attorney says, we're going to seek life in prison. We're only going to pursue two of the 18 capital murder charges. That makes no sense whatsoever. These ages, I'm looking at these victims, men and women mixed. It looks to be the youngest was 75. The oldest was, it appears to be, 94. Killing elderly Americans. Another case where someone here's here illegally. Did not come across the border, but it just again reaffirms it. Illegal in this country means we basically, if we don't round them up, and if they've overstayed the visa, and we don't have time to round them up right now because we're all tied up at the border. Because so many are coming across illegally there, so we got to deal with that as well. And of course you have the left crying out, get rid of ICE, get rid of immigration, customs, get rid of all that. Get rid of the Border Patrol. No walls, no border whatsoever. So what this opportunity of Trump showing up and going down to the border gave CNN and NN a chance to let the dog loose. Jim accosting Acosta Acosta. When Trump was in office, he was the attack dog for CNN going after Trump, always trying to make himself, Jim accosting Acosta Acosta, the story rather than whatever Trump was trying to promote and state at the time. And he always wanted to get extra time, you know, and talk about, you know, I'm asking the tough questions. Of course, he's not doing that with Biden. He's no longer on the White House beat. They purposely took him off that beat. Now, I don't know this directly, but I'm looking at how it plays out. I know how it does in the background. And they thought, we got to have somebody else in the White House now because we can't have Jim Acosta go after Biden like he did Trump. So if we change reporters, it looks like we're still being fair. And, you know, otherwise, if he stayed there, he's got to go after Biden like he did Trump. So they gave him his own show. We talked about that yesterday. But with Trump showing up again, especially on the border, they set the hound loose. Who turned the dog loose? CNN. Listen how it played out to begin with by a CNN anchor.
Former president today refused to apologize for the deadly insurrection he incited. Listen to this exchange with our very own Jim Acosta while touring the U.S. border with Mexico.
Trump, will you apologize about January 6th?
Jim Acosta is out front tonight in McAllen, Texas. Jim, the former president still refusing to accept responsibility for the deadly insurrection he incited. In fact, sort of smiling and giving a thumbs up in response to your question.
See how they set that up? Now, I'm not going to tell a reporter, you can't ask any question you want. If you got a chance to ask a question that you're have been denied a chance to have an actual press conference with or talk to them. Well, I understand, and I understand shouting it out, that's what it is. But when they try to do it with Pelosi, they just kind of make a vague effort, and then she waves away and says, well, we're not going to discuss Congresswoman Omar and her anti-Semitic remarks. I want to discuss only the January 6th insurrection, which CNN is more than willing to bite into and say by that CNN anchor again, throwing all fairness and unbiased out the window, and supposedly is a news anchor saying that the president incited that deadly insurrection. It was not an insurrection. You cannot say Trump incited it, but you're just going to do it anyway and just take it as a fact. But then here's Acosta accosting Acosta down there at the border, yelling and shouting at the president. Okay, how did that play out?
We sort of spent a day trapped in Trump's alternate reality about the 2020 election. He was down here to meet with Governor Greg Abbott of Texas to talk about Abbott's plan to spend $250 million on the border wall to fill in gaps in Trump's border wall that weren't completed during the Trump administration. Of course, Trump used the day to continue spreading the big lie to claim that he was cheated out of the 2020 election and so on. And Abbott's people went to great lengths to keep reporters from asking questions of the former president. And so it was at this event at the border wall where it got quiet for a few seconds. And so I tried to ask the question, do you apologize for what happened on January 6th? Trump did not. He knew what was going on. He looked right at me. He did not respond. That was when we heard boos from the crowd.
Now, stop it there for just a second. He said so many things in there that are so fake. But what I really want to get to, he said the president's staff was blocking us basically from getting to ask him a question. Has CNN not watched Biden at these news conferences? And he'll even say, okay, I need to go by this list of reporters. If I vary from the list, my staff would get upset with me. He calls on folks pre-approved by his staff and won't take questions shouted at him at all. But here's Acosta again trying to point out that these folks that were down there, they had an alternative reason for being there.
This was not a crowd of Trump supporters that you would see at a rally. This was a crowd of Republican members of the House who skipped out on the vote today for the January 6th Select Committee that Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker, proposed. And instead, they were down in Texas kissing Trump's ring. It was just another example of how we're not seeing profiles and courage up on Capitol Hill on the Republican side. We're seeing profiles and crassness in terms of what we saw today.
How rich is that? That they could talk about crassness as if they're not guilty of it, and the Democrats and Pelosi and the way she's allowing Omar to go on and on and on and on. I want to share a piece that Larry Elder, Salem Broadcasting, wrote. Stand by. You want to hear this regarding VP Harris.
USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Elder is an American conservative talk radio host, author, attorney, documentary filmmaker, a black broadcaster, born in L.A. His father was a sergeant in the U.S. Marines during World War II, and then ended up working as a janitor at Nabisco. But he made sure that his kids understood, between Larry and his two brothers, you will keep your nose to the grindstone, and you will perform. You will work. I mean, he probably was a drill sergeant inside the house from what he learned from the Marines. Bottom line is, Larry Elder, an honor student, ended up taking advanced courses at a high school, graduated, then got a Bachelor of Arts degree, political science, later got a law school from Michigan, later founded a law firm, then moved more into broadcasting and so forth. He wrote a piece that I want to share with you. He said that it's titled, VP Harris, What About the Root Cause of Urban Homicide? And it begins this way. Vice President Harris just returned from Guatemala, where she discussed the root cause of the post-election surge of migrants to our southern border, pointing out that Harris said people leave because they don't have opportunities. And then Larry Elder says, but the U.S. also faces a surge in crime, including homicide in many American cities. Why aren't we discussing this root cause? It cannot be because, as Harris says about migrants, people, quote, don't have opportunities to fill their basic needs. He said in L.A., the NBC affiliate reporting 142 murders so far in 2021, 22% increase over the last year. Chicago, he said Chicago, and according to the Chicago Sun-Times, children in Chicago dying from gun violence at a rate three times higher than last year. What about the race of the victims? Larry Elder points out the New York Post writes, victims of homicides are disproportionately African Americans. At least 8,600 black lives lost to homicide in 2020, an increase of more than 1,000 from the previous year. And he points out that violent crime is concentrated in primarily low-income, marginalized black communities where police are already undersourced and Democrat leadership has failed. He said 80% of the gun violence in 2020 in Chicago, black. In New York City, 71% of shooting victims, black. Even though black people constitute just 26% of the New York City population. He said, you'll hear everyone talk about that it's racism is a cause and systemic racism in the police. He said, it's not. He said, even where cops are oversaturated and it's oversaturated in some African American neighborhoods, the bodies continue. And he said the bodies don't lie. Even the CDC notes that blacks between the ages of 10 and 43 die of homicide at 13 times the rate of whites. Now, what he's pointing out clearly is, why don't we look at the root causes of crime and violence in our nation and how it is killing black Americans? Larry Elder is not just some guy talking. I mean, he grew up in South Central L.A. The difference for Larry and his brothers was they had a father that made sure they told the line. They held the family together. And he's talking about a lot of these families don't have a father. If they have a father, they're absent, or that he's trying to do everything he can but can't do it all the time. There are a lot of families doing their very best out there for their kids, doing the best they can. Coming up, Washington Post is suggesting that there were things that happened with Donald Trump when he had COVID you've never heard about until now.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around on their 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler's still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
The antibody kind of thing that I took was I felt really good almost after taking it. I know people call it a therapeutic, but to me it's a cure, okay? To me it's a cure. I think it's much more than a therapeutic. And I want to get it immediately into the hospitals.
That is former President Trump when he was president, after he had been hospitalized with COVID. Now, I want to clarify something. He felt he had been cured. There is no cure for COVID to the extent of actually having and curing it. They're battling it different ways, but no specific cure, if you use that phraseology. But those were some remarks he was making after he had spent time in the hospital. In fact, he later said about his getting COVID-19, he said it was actually, quote, a blessing from God. When he returned to the Oval Office, he had been free of COVID symptoms for more than 24 hours, fever-free, they say, for 4 days when they said he could go. And if you recall, some members of his staff had already come down with it previously. And in the process, he was talking about the cocktail that he was given as a cure rather than a therapeutic measure, saying that hundreds of thousands of doses were nearly ready, but that included the Regeneron drugs, which were still not approved, but he was trying to push it forward. He even said, I may have a protective glow of immunity from COVID now. And he said in an interview of Fox News, I beat the coronavirus, passing the highest standards for proving so. Added that I'm no longer taking anything. He said, looks like I'm immune for, I don't know, maybe a long time, maybe a short time. Could be a lifetime. Nobody really knows, but I'm immune. So the president is in very good shape to fight the battles. And, of course, he had a very busy schedule because this was happening in 2020, in October 2020, about 20-plus days out from the election. And he had a full campaign schedule when he returned, and he made every stop, and he spent long hours out there with the talking at different locations. I mean, he was in Pennsylvania. He was in Florida. He was in Iowa. I mean, he was all over. He did not slow down except for the time that he had to be in the hospital. There is a book that is coming out later this month. And the Washington Post took some excerpts from it and published it. The book is titled Nightmare Scenario, Inside the Trump Administration's Response to the Pandemic That Changed History. Nightmare Scenario. Well, kind of caught your attention there. Inside the Trump Administration's Response to the Pandemic That Changed History. And it, the piece at the Post reports, they pick up a part where it says a Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar's phone rang with an urgent request. Could he help someone at the White House obtain an experimental coronavirus treatment known as a monoclonal antibody? If Azar could get the drug, what would the White House need to do to make it happen? Azar thought for a moment. October 1, 2020. The drug's still in clinical trials. The FDA said it could make, quote, a compassionate use exception, but is not still available for the public. Only about 10 so far had used it outside of those trials. Azar said, yeah, I'll help. I'll help. He was not told at that time who the drug was for. Later, he said he kind of connected the dots that the patient was one of Trump's closest advisors, Hope Hicks, so it was for her at that time. A short time later, the FDA commissioner gets an urgent request from the top White House official about a separate case, even greater urgency. Can he get the FDA to sign off on a compassionate use authorization for this monoclonal antibody right away? They point out in the book that that often happens with life-threatening illnesses, but generally they don't call the FDA commissioner directly, but the White House could do that. The White House wanted an answer of yes within hours. The FDA commissioner at the time still didn't know who it was for. He consulted career officials, and they wanted to go by the book, said no. So he sent that word back to the White House. They kept pressing him to cut the corners, according to the book as it's written. He said, we can't do that. We're talking about someone's life. We actually have to examine the applicant. Later, he was told it's on behalf of the president. According to the way it's written in the book, he was stunned. For God's sake, he thought, it's the president who's sick. And you want us to bend the rules? Trump was in the highest risk category for severe disease from COVID-19 at age 74, rarely exercised, considered medically obese. So he went through all of this stuff. So this book is pointing about a five-day stretch in October 2020. From the time the White House began efforts to get Trump life-saving drugs to the day he returned to the White House from the hospital. And the purpose of the entire book and the way it's written is, of course, that this bout, his personal bout with COVID, that it would possibly make him realize COVID was a lot worse than what he had been making on, and that maybe he would be more inspired to be more dramatic in forcing people to get vaccinations when it's available and forcing them to mask up and close down and everything else. They point out, as again, I don't know how far much where some of this appears in this book, because this is the Washington Post lifting it out of this book titled Nightmare Scenario. But it talks about Trump that leading up to the infection, there was that week was frenzied, even by his standards. He hosted a party September 26th, maskless attendees. That was to announce Amy Coney Barrett, his nominee for the Supreme Court Justice. Later, he hosted military families at the White House. 2 days later in Cleveland for a debate against his Democrat challenger. 48 hours later, Trump became ill, terribly ill. His tweet announced that he and the First Lady had coronavirus infections. And according to the book, as it's written here, the president began a rapid spiral downward. Fever spiked. Blood oxygen fell below 94%, at one point dipping into the 80s. Sean Connolly, the White House physician, attended the president at his bedside, and Trump was given oxygen to stabilize him at that point. I just had a very close relative have a similar situation. Much younger than Trump, in much better shape. Oxygen dipped down into the 80s, and when that happens, it begins to show that you're beginning to go if they don't turn things around. So they point out in the book that normally they try to space some things out and try to bring in, but the Trump's doctor said throw everything at him, everything you got, experimental or not. They were still fearing he might have to go on a ventilator. That's when they moved into the hospital. And apparently he did not want to go, according to the book. They're saying a large number of them saying that he just didn't want to go. He didn't want to know. And they said, well, you can either walk out now. It basically came down to that. You can walk out and board the helicopter or board the limo, whatever the plan was at that point. Or you could be on a stretcher being carried out. So he decided he would walk out at that point. Then they were saying, according to many, and again, this is the book, saying they were expecting that after he came out, he'd have a change of heart. And he would start saying, yes, folks, you got to do more. You got to do more to be careful with this thing. And then as he returned a few days later, Marine One taking him back to the South Lawn, he got out, navy suit, white shirt, blue striped tie, medical mask on the face. You might have seen it. Walked up the grass, climbed the steps to the balcony. He got up there. He did not go inside. He turned from the center of the balcony, looked toward Marine One, the camera. You could see that he was breathing heavily. That would be just from the climb, walk up the stairs. But he didn't waver. He took the mask off and went maskless. And right then, according to those who thought maybe this would have changed Trump's mind, they said his response wasn't going to change. The pandemic response wasn't going to change. Again, this is all an excerpt from a book called Nightmare Scenario, coming out later this month. Now, Andrew, our boots on the ground in Chicago, called my attention to it, and it was, say, excerpts in the Washington Post. And when Andrew sent it to me, he added his comments or questions, slanted, dramatic, typical. Those were his three words. And my response to him was, it's everything you said, but it's engaging. And his sources named were quoted correctly. It is a revealing look behind the scenes. Still as written, was a story more about Trump's health, or the incident didn't make him a dedicated, evangelized messenger that mass mandates and lockdowns were essential and justified. The part about standing triumphant on the balcony could be considered as a show of reassurance to the nation the president was still capable. Again, these are notes I wrote back to Andrew. Or they could be presented as a slant to reflect a lie. I admit it could be a lie. Trump's cavalier posturing led to more sickness and deaths. Maybe that could have been that way. Of course, FDR hid his condition, but it was a contagious malady. Other presidents have hidden or downplayed any illness or condition that might frighten the public or be used as an opportunity for U.S. enemies. We believe the North Korean leader is doing the same, right? And I did point out to him that, to Andrew, the other thing that the state-controlled media might also start pushing, raising questions about relations between Hicks and Trump, since she was the first to come down with it, and then Trump? Yeah, well, I'm waiting for that, because as I added in the final, in total, game on. Now you know what's going to be in the books if you want it. Coming up, I'm going to share some emails with you. You don't want to miss them. Stand by.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race with the Fords and Lincolns was setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. got a Lincoln motor in it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I just want to ask, what is it about the national anthem or that whole scenario that made you feel so uncomfortable? Why didn't you want to, you know, acknowledge that part?
History. If you know your history, you know the full song of the national anthem. The third paragraph speaks to slaves in America, our blood being slain and pilchered all over the floor. Mm-hmm. It's disrespectful, and it does not speak for Black Americans.
Well, those are the words which we played yesterday. Gwen Berry, Olympian hammer thrower, that when she was on the podium to take her bronze prize the other day up in Oregon where they're holding the trials, they start playing the national anthem, and the other two on the podium put their hands over their hearts and looked toward the flag during the national anthem. She deliberately turned away and did not put her hand over the heart or anything else. Then later was explaining why, that the national anthem is talks about slavery in the third stanza somewhere down in there. That was her interview as she was talking to Black News Channel. Yes, there is, quote, a Black News Channel. That's the way it builds itself. And for one viewer asked, is there's a White News Channel? There's not, if you're looking for it by name. I know what you're trying to say. But Berry's point about the national anthem, as I pointed out yesterday, and I think I should reaffirm again, she doesn't understand the context. Francis Scott Key was not talking about slaves from Africa. He was talking about how the British tried to enslave Americans, forcing them into their military to do military service or Navy service. That was the point of that, and that was part of the whole Battle of 1812. Anyway, let's move forward. So Gwen Berry had that attitude. Well, someone pointed out that 5 years ago in Rio de Janeiro, training for the Olympics, I should say, in 2016 for in Rio, she's pictured showing, holding the American flag, draped in it, basically, holding it out and holding it out for everyone to see that she's standing proudly with the flag, holding the flag. Well, the website pic and description now deleted, but it was copied and quickly got put out by another group. And she was quoted in there as being a hardworking athlete striving toward her dream of representing her country. So now, when questioned about it, she said, well, I never said I hated the country. I never said that. She said, all I said I was respect my people enough not to stand or acknowledge something that disrespects them. Well, again, apparently the flag didn't start disrespecting people until 2016. That is, of course, Colin Kaepernick's start, but then Berry here is just misinterpreting what the lyrics mean in Francis Scott Key anyway. Don't bother. Don't let the facts get in the way. Speaking of that, I went after Tucker Carlson some yesterday, and I'm going to have to do a follow-up on that tomorrow. I knew I'd get flack from many conservatives. How dare you call out Tucker? What I was after is Tucker was saying, we have proof that the NSA is spying on us just to get me off the air. I said, when you're going to make a statement like that, you got to back it up with facts. You got to be very direct about it. And I'm a Tucker fan. But I saw some of the response that came on Facebook. One saying Tucker's record, Gary, I should say, Tucker's record of being factual is pretty solid. If I were a betting man, I'd take his words 100%. Another one, Darren, saying kind of naive to say you need proof. Have we forgot about Snowden already? We all know they're spying on everybody. I understand those sentiments and so forth, but I was looking at it on the basis of journalism, and I don't think Tucker, if he's got the facts, he's going to have to be more direct. I also had a letter, and the emails go to me when they come as an email, not to the Facebook. You can always write either one, but Larry Connors USA Facebook, everyone will see who you are. If you send it to my email, LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com, or at gmail.com, then I don't use a name because it's not for everyone to see, but I will use your comments. And one of those came in yesterday talking about my coverage of Tucker and pointing out Tucker was so hard on Sidney Powell for not having proof about election fraud And she was just as enthusiastically worked up as he is. Just a thought. So she's saying, well, he was on Sidney Powell, that you need proof. You can't just make statements. I've seen him do that, so I understand that. Then also, another wrote me about another story. I talked about burned-out teachers collecting checks and so forth, and the listener said, why does this happen? Does it happen to other professions and yours? Of course not. Of course not, because if it did, they'd be fired and replaced with someone who wants a job. Pointing out competition, but mostly the difference is the teachers' union. Saying, I'm a former school teacher, constantly saw lazy, unmotivated teachers collect the same paycheck as I did, and they did nothing. There's no way to get rid of them because of tenure. Shine your light on this practice, Larry. Keep up the good work. Your show is excellent. Well, I just happened to end on a good note and praise for my program. How about that? Hey, it's my program. I'll do it the way I want. Now, I put out negative comments too. Write them. Go ahead and write them. I put them on the Facebook. Everybody can see them. Or send them to me, and I'll try to get them out there for you as well. I appreciate you listening. Share with your family and friends. We're on the air. And please remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors, USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.